I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
All right, Megan, you know how I went to the dentist this morning?
Yeah.
I have a really fun story about that.
Okay, I'm skeptical.
Just a regular cleaning. All is good. My dentist came in at the end after the hygienist was done. He was like, "You work at NBC, right?" And I say, "Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Bravo, Oxygen, bunch of places. What's up?" And he was like, "Well, the Olympics are coming up and keep your eyes peeled for me because I will be an Olympic referee in the wrestling matches that start on August 1st.
How is a dentist also a wrestling referee?
Dr. Schmuley has many talents. He said that he has been a wrestling coach his whole life and he somehow got involved in the Olympics and is now going. He's 59. He'll be turning 60 next year, I think. And 60 is the cutoff. So he just made it to the Olympics literally by a year.
That is the oddest thing I've ever heard.
Isn't that so crazy? I really did not know what to say when he said. I was kind of blown away. I was like, whoa, I've never known anybody to go to the Olympics, even if you're just a ref. Gold medal for you, Dr. Schmuley. How was your 4th of July weekend?
It was good. The weather actually got nice.
Yeah.
Because the forecast was going to be all rainy. So I feel like no one made plans. Like none of my friends were down to make plans because we were all like, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
But it ended up being really great.
I know. Did you see over the 4th of July weekend, Joe Giudice reunited with Dina Manzo?
I did not see that. So I have some questions. Was Teresa there?
No.
So just him and Dina?
Yeah, they were on a boat together. I don't know how it happened. Her husband was there.
In Italy or here?
I think it was here. Oh, but he can't be here. Bahamas, maybe?
Oh, okay.
I think he's living in the Bahamas right now.
Got it. Oh, okay. Interesting. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, they've been friends. She's the godmother of his youngest daughter. I guess it makes sense.
Do you think they spoke about Caroline?
I don't think either of them have nice things to say about Caroline.
Yeah, if they spoke about it, wasn't anything good.
Wasn't good. So in exciting news, Real Housewives of Potomac returns Sunday, July 11th at 8, 7 Central.
Oh, what are your predictions for this season? I have watched the first episode.
I did too.
Okay, so I guess our predictions would be a little informed at this point. But what do you think about the new season?
I will say the first episode hooked me right away. Which, I mean, look, we've all been saying it's a really good show everyone should be watching. And, you know, most people are. But I just feel like for any Real Housewives fans that aren't, you're missing out.
Absolutely. And sometimes when we have a new housewife, you don't always get them in the first episode, but we get Mia in this very first one.
Right.
Oh, do you love her?
I'm intrigued.
I know how you feel about people who have had a lot of plastic surgery.
How do I feel?
You love them?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, have I made stronger? But yeah, no, usually I do.
And she is very open.
That's what I love about her.
Right.
Is that right off the bat, she's like, I had this done, this and that. I love that. Tell us. I know we don't have a right to know, but like we have a right to know.
Yeah. Well, she's not the only one who's had a little work done, as you guys will see. So next week when we recap, I have some questions about a new set of ladies.
Yes.
That one of the ladies has. They look good. Okay, what are we talking today?
We got to talk about Real Housewives of New York City, mm-hmm. Below Deck Mediterranean,
yep.
And Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, I just want to inject it in my veins.
I know.
Plus, we have an interview with Dr. Heavenly Kimes from Married to Medicine.
Okay, Roni?
Yes. Okay, off the bat, early in the episode, Ramona openly admits that she has superficial friends.
I have a lot of so-called other friends,
yeah.
But a lot of them are just maybe more really superficial, but these are the girls that I've known for years. They're my core.
Oh, right, because she's talking to Bershon, mm-hmm. And she's talking about the Ebony event, and even Bershon was like, it was not great.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then Ramona's like, well, I don't have them. I have some superficial friends, which is interesting because in the past, Ramona has gotten so defensive when Sonia or Luann say that and say, like, you surround yourself with these, like, yes people.
Right. I think Ramona's starting to be a little bit more authentic. I think there was a period of time on this show where she was almost presenting a character, the character we all expected Ramona to be. And a lot of what we love about Ramona as a housewife is those extreme behaviors and ridiculous behaviors. But this season in particular, obviously this episode and a lot of the conversations with Ebony and things are a bit rocky. But I do think we're starting to peel back the layers on who Ramona is. Yeah. And I think she's showing us a little bit more authenticity.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Right. What did you think about Sonia with the matchmaker?
Well, I really hope that Sonia can find someone who is her match.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting it out into the universe the way that she did, listing out the things that she wants and working with a professional in this space is only going to help her. I hope we see a few dates to come this season. Whoever the guy is that Devin had in mind, I hope we get to meet him. I want to see Sonia in her element, and she's in her element when she's flirting with a guy.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because we really, except for Harry Dubin, haven't really gotten to see Sonia in a more intimate relationship with a guy.
Romantic,
you know, like
yeah.
She's dated Frenchie, remember, and mm-hmm. like these other kind of flings, but you've never seen her like open up to a guy.
Right.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think we see her wild, flirtatious, always talking about having sex. And it seems like she's in a place in her life where she does want a companion, a one person to be with her. They can go out, they can travel, they can stay home. She seems to be ready
yeah.
for that kind of commitment.
Right.
And I'm ready for her. Speaking of Sonia, Bershon also married the bank. We found out that she married a British banker and has since divorced. But Sonia's not the only one.
Interesting.
I know.
What do you have to fight about when you have all that money?
Money. More money, more problems. Okay, we learned that from 90s hip hop and R&B.
And Bethany.
And Bethany, obviously. Okay, so Salem trip.
Yeah.
I'm from Massachusetts, but I've actually never been to Salem.
I've never been, but it's kind of crazy you haven't if you're from Massachusetts. You know.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those places we didn't go to on a field trip in school, so I just never made it there. There was a place we used to go to called Old Sturbridge Village, and it was out in Western Mass, and it was one of those frozen in time colonial places
yeah.
where you'd go into homes and they'd be churning butter
and you'd learn all
about different things, and not as exciting as Salem witch trials and things. But
my really only reference point for Salem is that there was a Dawson's Creek episode where they went and, you know, they got stuck on this little island. I don't even know if they called it Salem in the show, but that's obviously what it was. And it was all about witch trials. It was a really good episode.
There's also Charmed. You want to talk about 90s WB shows. Charmed, they go back in time and meet their ancestor who was around for the Salem witch trials. So that's my point of reference.
It was such a nicer, simpler time.
I know.
The WB era.
Ugh. Remember? And the little dancing frog?
Yes.
I thought about getting that as a tattoo for a long time. You can't capture his character, his like dancing in a tattoo form, though.
Right.
And speaking of tattoos, the ladies are all considering, well, Leah's considering getting a tattoo, but we know Luann gets one.
Yeah.
We just didn't see it in this episode yet.
What'd she get?
I don't know. I'm excited to see. Oh. I think she might have posted about it on Instagram in real time, but I don't remember. So I guess we'll see next week.
It's an interesting time in life to get a tattoo for Luann.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever stayed at a haunted hotel?
I'm trying to think because there's a hotel I'm thinking about in New Orleans, and I'm wondering, because it was very old, like, was there a history? But it wasn't like this, like, where they sort of tell you. And I've been inside one in Austin, Texas, as part of a ghost tour. But no, I've never stayed overnight in one. But it is my dream to run a haunted hotel.
Maybe a little Airbnb.
Well, my thinking is, it doesn't even have to be authentically haunted, but what if you could give people the experience of a haunted house, but it's an overnight thing?
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily a house that has ghosts or spirits in it. But
you will feel like it does.
Yeah. And maybe like throughout the night, someone will literally barge into your room and scare you with like a chainsaw and then leave.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's a great idea. Year round Halloween.
I know.
I have actually stayed at a haunted hotel. There is the Santa Maria Inn in Santa Maria, California. And I was visiting family up there when I was living in Los Angeles. And they were like, we got to stay at this place. It's allegedly haunted. A lot of old Hollywood, Marilyn Monroe, I think Frank Sinatra types used to frequent that place. So there are allegedly ghosts. My aunt stayed there on a separate occasion, and she said that she heard something in the night, or there was something about in the bathroom. I forget her story. I'll have to confirm it with her. I didn't have any experiences while I was there. I was hoping to have like a little one, but it was haunted.
Yeah.
I believe it.
All right.
Follow-up question. Have you ever had sex with a ghost?
No. I know of.
Well, you would probably know because Kesha has openly talked about having sex with a ghost in previous
years. I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know. I believe women, so I don't know what to say to that.
I would be so curious about how that experience works. How does the consent work?
That's exactly
how does what any of it work
came to mind. And I just feel like I'm not going to go down that road.
Right.
So,
you know, if it works for you, it works for you.
Right.
But until, you know, up to this point, no haunted hotels and no sex with ghosts.
Okay. What do we think about the whole Ebony and Ramona drama that's come up again?
Oh,
it's kind of, by the way, if I could say, the worst kind of drama. Because it's too real,
yeah.
I feel. It's too... I just feel like there are certain people who are very slippery, and Ramona's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, do we have a right to hold people down and make them, like, think what we want to think? I don't know.
I know. It's very tricky because Ramona's obviously uncomfortable. She is shutting down. She's walking away. She recognizes it's a really dangerous path for her to go down.
Yeah.
And that's very layered because if she is worried about being exposed for something, why do that to begin with?
Right.
Like cast the vote that she might have cast. You know, we don't have the answers, but actions almost speak louder than words. And I think, like you said, she's being very slippery. She's avoiding the topic, avoiding the conversation. And that's pretty telling.
Yeah.
In and of itself. And the other side of it is that Ebony was trying to make the point of let's have an open dialogue. If you did vote for Trump, for example, explain to me why, and I'll explain to you why I voted for who I voted for.
Yeah.
And make that political conversation that everyone's always trying to avoid more of a dialogue, because how else do you move forward with each other?
Yeah.
And so that's what Ebony is trying to do, and she's not trying to shut Ramona down the way we see Leah doing it. I understand where Leah's coming from, but that approach is not going to get Ramona to engage with you. It's going to get her to shut down and walk away, which is exactly what we see.
Yeah.
So Leah, I get it. I get frustrated sometimes. I was very frustrated at this point in 2020 as well. And beginning of 2021, we all were still feeling a lot of different emotions around the election and around the state of the world. But Leah going off on Ramona like that, it's not going to make her feel like she can have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it also gets tricky when you bring up the KKK.
Yes.
I can't get there if I have to have an authentic, outstanding question about not you being a Klansman, but if you were aligned with white supremacy.
Oh, my God.
And Lord, that's a question.
Just what does that mean? Because obviously we hear white supremacy, and it's like, geez, that's like the worst thing in the world. What does that mean
to you? So I'm not saying anybody is.
No,
I'm asking the question.
I know, but you're questioning us.
Are you talking about Donald Trump?
It makes me a little uncomfortable.
I'm talking about Donald Trump. I don't think everybody voted for Donald Trump is a white supremacist. But some people that did are.
It's going to set off alarm bells in these women.
Yeah.
And anyone. I mean, if someone on camp, you know, just being associated with a word, you know, as we're watching in Beverly Hills with the whole, you know.
Violated. Yeah.
People are very sensitive about being associated with certain words.
Yeah, like white supremacy.
Yeah.
That's a phrase we don't often hear on Housewives. So even for viewers, I think it's a little alarming.
Jarring.
Like, oh, shit, we're going there. And for Luann and Ramona to be seated there and hear it and know that there's cameras in front of them and the next words that come out of their mouths as this conversation progresses could implicate them
right.
in some way very, very quickly. The other part of it that's interesting, and I'm curious your thoughts on, is I think Luann said Sonia is playing both sides.
Mm.
And by the way, when Sonia was with us for lunch, she also agreed on the same thing. So
yeah.
It's a huge movement right now.
No, I know, but listen, we respect that.
But I'm wondering when it's going to loosen up with her a little bit and we can talk about other subjects.
Exactly.
And have some fun.
You know, Sonia likes to play both sides of the coin.
I said the movement is awkward. I didn't say Ebony.
But I don't see it that way. I see Sonia understanding both sides because she has the longevity friendships with Luann, Ramona. She knows them better than a lot of people. But she's also gotten very close with Ebony. And as we've seen in previous episodes, Sonia's done a lot of work to understand the Black Lives Matter movement, the changes that need to happen, equity, equality, all of the important things. So I think in the conversation, we saw the flashback where Sonia was like, oh yeah, I think she needs to lighten up a little bit and maybe not go so heavy on this conversation, I think is a valid point. She's not saying that Ebony is lecturing or anything like that, but she's trying to validate Luann and Ramona's opinions, but also give Ebony credit.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think I, as a viewer, am feeling the same way, by the way.
Yeah.
On one hand, I totally understand where Ebony's coming from. I know the pressure that she's probably under to be a Black housewife and to want to feel like she's doing the best she can to be representative and be vocal. And also, this is her life's work, as Sonia says. But at the same time, I'm watching Real Housewives and I just want them to get drunk and silly. So like, I too am feeling both sides of it.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say where Ramona really lost me at the end of this episode is when she started to say, oh, but Ebony, you're so successful. You haven't had as many hurdles. Like, right. I've had hurdles in my life. And it's just, that's where Ramona starts to spiral out of control.
Right.
And I think it's a defense mechanism. I think she doesn't know what else to do sometimes, but
also maybe just genuinely doesn't get it.
Yeah.
But you're living a great life. I don't understand.
Okay, and that, I want to leave it to our luggage.
I don't even have what you have. Hermes bags. I don't live your life. I want your life. Can I have your life? I want your life, bitch.
You're living real good. Ramona is saying something that a lot of people that look at me feel, which is you're talking about Black Lives Matter. You're talking about Black subordination of life. But I'm looking and I'm seeing a first class existence.
Well, no, because you said you suffered. And I said, looking at you, I don't think you suffered.
And Ebony is being so patient and trying to explain it to her. And it's Leah jumping in that I think is shutting Ramona down.
Yeah.
So I think they need to curb this conversation for a later time and come back to it when everyone's cooled off a little bit. Below Deck Med?
Yeah. So it was interesting to kind of get more information on the chef.
Chef Matthew.
On Chef Matthew. That, yeah, his leg was hurt, but really I think what it came down to was anxiety.
I have this deep anxiety inside of me before that first meal for a new guest. And instead of just getting over that and doing it, I bailed.
Fruit platter?
I'm gonna do the fruit ASAP.
Two jobs in the past, I have actually left before I started because of anxiety, and it's something I need and want to overcome.
And it being like an issue that he's had all of his life, and he's trying to overcome it, and it really made me think about Tom Schwartz, because in Vanderpump Rules, I think it was season 3, Lisa Vanderpump gives him an opportunity to work at Pump, and he has a panic attack his first shift, like can't even make it through with the shift. And actually, Lisa was pretty insensitive about the whole thing. And so was Katie,
yeah,
his girlfriend. They were both like, you can't even make it through a shift. How can you be a husband or a father? But some people have debilitating anxiety.
Well, it's interesting because we are coming off a season of Below Deck Med,
yes,
where someone with anxiety maybe didn't take the proper protocols to alert Captain Sandy and whoever they needed to alert about medication they were on. But will this open up a new conversation this season? And will we see Sandy, Malia, will we see a different approach to someone who's dealing with anxiety? And it does get a little tricky because all of that may be valid with Chef Matthew, but we do know that chefs have extreme personalities sometimes, right? And I wish he had been a little bit more upfront from the beginning about it, because it seemed like the knee was the scapegoat in a sense. He was like, oh, my knee is bothering me. Like, I don't think I can do this, which I'm sure his knee was bothering him. But they all noted when he returned, he wasn't really limping as much as he was before.
Yeah.
But it also feels like, is Matthew one of those people who does the bare minimum and wants to be celebrated for it? Because even once he gets back and starts to prepare breakfast and everything, Sandy's like, all right, well, we got to do crew meal. We got to do all these other things. And he's like, well, I can't do that. I need
someone
else.
I can't do the cake and I can't do crew meal.
Right.
Crew meal's great. Like, but I'm curious, what did his CV look like? Does he not have experience doing all of this?
It said he worked with Hugh Jackman or something. I mean,
it's just crazy that, you know, Sandy is trying to be a supportive boss. But at a point, it gets a little pathetic because she's like, I'll organize your vegetables for you. And it's like, you're the captain, Sandy.
I know.
How are you?
Flustered.
Why? What's wrong?
I've got too much stuff. I don't know what's where.
I can go and organize. I can put your vegetables on one side.
I was really shocked to see that.
But I think she's just like, I don't know what else to do.
I know. And maybe she is trying to be sensitive to his anxiety, given what happened last season. But I didn't see an apology from him to the guests, to the crew. I didn't see a moment where he recognized what a compromising position he left everybody else in when he bailed on everybody the day before. So I was a little put off by his approach upon return.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, I feel like Malia should have some skills in the kitchen after being with Tom.
Yeah, but like, that's not what she signed up to do.
Well, no, but maybe she could handle crew meal at least. Just like, throw in some toast, grilled cheese, you know? Crew meal doesn't have to be fancy.
I don't know. I think that that should be his responsibility. Absolutely. He is a chef.
Yeah. Step it up. What do you think about some of the boatmances that we see brewing?
It's funny because are they brewing or are producers like trying to like dig, you know?
A little bit of both.
Because they're just in every interview, it's like, so what do you think about so-and-so?
I know.
Like, then they just keep going until someone's like, well, yeah, like, she's hot. You
well,
know?
Katie is hot, and someone's going to go for her at
well,
some
they should.
Point. It's going to be Lloyd or David.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think Lloyd might have more of a fighting chance. We know that Katie has something for, like, how do you describe Jack? People who are a little,
Yeah, like, I know what you're saying, but I also can't think of the word.
Like, not huge egos, but, like, charming in an unconventional way.
Yes.
And that's what Lloyd is. I think we determined that last week. There was something about him. So David seems a little more pretty boy, cookie cutter, less of an edge.
Right.
Than I think Katie is probably into.
What do you think about Lexi flirting with the chef just to get what she wants?
So smart.
So smart.
So smart. And that is the one person on the boat you do want on your side.
All those scenes for next time, I was like, oh, shit. Like, it seems to go left really quick with them.
Well, and that's what is I'm worried about Chef Matthew and his attitude, because if we're going to see a switch in him after what he's already pulled, I don't know if I'm going to like him.
Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, this season started off so rough. There's only up from here, right? So things obviously have to get better for the crew at this point.
Okay, I can't stop thinking about this couple that's about to get married on the boat.
Oh, they're having some difficulties.
And how in the room, like, she's clearly upset because he's getting drunk or whatever. And then in the room, she says, I'm calling your mother right now.
Oh my God.
Chill the f*** out.
You are drunk as shit. Look at you.
I'm calling your mother right now.
Good, do it.
Should we go in there and be like, you guys want to cancel?
Just let us know.
God, you're so drunk.
God, you're such a douchebag.
Call me a douchebag one more time, Carrie.
You're a douchebag.
Call me a douchebag one more
time. You're being such a douchebag.
Yeah, I don't give a
I'm not marrying you anymore.
Good, I don't want to marry you. Really? I'm done. I'm not marrying you. I'm going to tell him right now.
Have you ever made that threat to Danny?
No.
Like, how old are you? What?
Yeah, what are you going to say to her? You're going to call her in the middle of the night from a mega yacht while you're wasted the night before you're supposed to be marrying this woman's son and say what?
Yeah.
Talk to your son. I also loved Katie being outside the door, obviously eavesdropping and almost getting caught, but she booked it just enough time. They probably wouldn't have even noticed if she was standing there. Right. You know, she could have played it off like she was picking something up off the floor.
Oh.
Do you think they're going to get married?
Yes, sadly I do.
They're going to be very hungover and they're going to get married. So I got the chance to speak with Dr. Heavenly Kimes from Married to Medicine all about what went down in part one of the reunion. We talked about who was best dressed, if she had any receipts that she wished she had brought, plus how she found out about Dr. Contessa filing for separation from Scott. Here's that interview. All right, guys, as you know, I love Married to Medicine and the reunion is airing. We just saw part one. I needed to bring someone in who can talk about it with me. So who better to ask than Dr. Heavenly Kimes? Dr. Heavenly, what's going on?
Hey guys, what's going on? Nothing much, just working hard.
Oh, you know, I mean, you got it, right? So things are good with the business. Everything's up and running post-COVID.
Yes, praise God. Yes, it was shut down for a minute, but we're back up and running. Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. I have to ask, I know that you attended Portia's birthday party recently. So how was that?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, they really set it out for her. If it's the guy Simon or whoever, they just really did it big for Portia. I know she felt loved. It was a lot of different people there. It was a lot of colors. It was just great. It was typical Portia. Just
lively. Of course. So I know you were there. Toya was there. I saw that Giselle was there. Who else? Bravo celebrities and beyond, did you run into?
I saw Giselle. I saw just basically who you said. Giselle, Shamia was definitely there, her best friend. Toya, Simone, yes. And myself and Dr. Damon was there with me.
So no other Atlanta ladies?
I didn't see them, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, obviously, you know, her new relationship is all over social media. So what did you think about Simon when you met him?
I thought he was very astute. I thought he looked amazing. He looked like a businessman. I mean, he looked like, you know how you see Jay-Z and he has some kind of ambiance about him?
Yes.
It was the same thing with Simon, you know? He looks like a man and he looks, you know, like he's about business.
Okay. He's definitely about his business. I get that vibe from him too. He seems to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
I also know that you recently debuted some red hair. So what inspired this new look?
It was actually orange.
Orange. Okay, yes.
Orange. Yes, the hair was orange in tribute to Sha'Carri Richardson. She just won to go to the Olympics. She's a runner and she just won. And she was number one. And I think a lot of people ridiculed her because she had orange hair and long fingernails. And I just want to say success comes in all forms, multi-forms and colors. And I didn't want her to feel, you know, I just thought it was a tribute or homage to her because she's number one and I love Black excellence.
Absolutely. I love that. Now, do you think you will get more adventurous and try some more colors or is orange kind of where you're at?
I mean, I'm willing to try more colors. I'm not afraid. But of course, in my dental office, it will always be more professional. But outside in Atlanta streets, yes, orange, blue, we got all colors at Heavenly Beauty, ATL in Conyers, Georgia. We got all colors, sizes, textures, and lengths. So yeah.
That's true. That's true. You know, for me personally, you were best dressed at the reunion.
I was. I really was.
Well, I was going to say, in your opinion, besides you, of course, who was second best dressed?
If I had to do a second, it would be a tie between Quad and Contessa, Dr. Contessa.
Yeah.
They both look amazing. Amazing ladies. But we all had the same stylist, who was Jeremy. No IG Jeremy. Yeah, we all had the same stylist. Myself, Contessa, Quad, and Anila.
We all had the same stylist. We owe Jeremy a big thank you then.
We do.
So let's get into the reunion a bit. Do you have any receipts or evidence, as you said, that you wish you had brought to the reunion?
No, I think that I'm honest and my truth is what it is. I don't need receipts. My word is born, so I don't need a receipt. Whatever I say is what it is. I don't need the proof. And they never really show it anyway, so the hell. It's just a BS to me.
Right. I mean, we have had a lot of people show up with, you know, printouts and screenshots and things.
But do you ever really see them?
Right, yeah. Or the thing about screenshots that gets tricky, and I guess even printouts, is, you know, they can be edited a little bit. You could leave some things out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody could edit some stuff. I can get some people to do some things for me now. So the receipts really don't matter, honestly.
Right, right. Not a day of Photoshop, you know?
Right.
Well, the receipts come up because there is this conversation between Toya and Anila and these payments and hair and makeup and everything. Do you think that Toya and Anila will be able to get their friendship back on track?
I really hope so. I think this was kind of small and petty for even Toya to pick up. Of course, Anila's husband is a plastic surgeon. It's not a problem paying. I think it was a timely fashion. I think, you know, with us in our culture, you know, everybody, and myself included, I like to get paid before my services are rendered. And most of the Atlanta, you know, stylists or whatever, they want to be paid at the time of service. Anila must not work with people, you know what I mean? That, you know, she's used to paying them like on a weekly regimen or bi-weekly. I wish it just had been communicated to her. That big old thing was miscommunication. That's all.
Right, right. Do we know if she paid Andy's makeup artist?
She showed me the receipt she paid.
Okay, okay. So you got the receipts. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all over with. Yeah, it's paid in full.
Well, Toya also, a little while later at this reunion, breaks down and things start to pop off between the two of you. Do you think that she, by the end of part one of this reunion, took accountability for her actions?
Absolutely not. I think that Toya is delusional. I really do. I think that she doesn't even realize what she does. She's oblivious to what she does. She says she's blaming it on COVID because her husband was working. She hasn't done anything. Mine, at the same time, Dr. Contessa had COVID. My husband works in the trenches. He was never able to close his office. And I get it. Her husband works directly in the ER. But we had friends and family members to die. And you understand COVID, I was right there. I'm with the respiratory droplets. Before I was able to close my office, I was concerned about myself. So everybody went through something with COVID. For her to act a damn fool and then blame it on COVID when she didn't do anything but play tennis is absurd. It's ludicrous.
Right, right. So you really don't think that she was receiving or listening to what you guys were saying to her at this part of the reunion?
Honestly, I don't think Toya remembers half the shit that happened. Honestly, I think she was drunk the whole freaking time. You know what I'm saying? She was drunk. So I don't think she even realized everything she did and said. I really don't.
Right, right, right. Well, maybe she should just watch the season back and take a few notes or something.
Maybe, maybe. Or watch my blog on YouTube and I'll refresh her memory.
Well, I have to ask though, is she a good kisser?
Hell no, it was a hard peck. If I get a kiss, I want a sensuous kiss. I don't want that. I mean, she gave me a hard peck. I mean, if that's what Eugene gets shit, he ain't getting worth his money he's spending. He working too hard for it.
Well, who on the cast would you like to kiss next?
Listen, I ain't about that life, but if I had to say, it would probably be Dr. Contessa.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty sexy.
I could see that. I could see that. Well, I was going to ask, you know, what place you and Toya are in now, because we did see that conversation between the two of you where you've known each other for a really long time and, you know, you seem to work through some of the issues that you had in your friendship. But as of today, where are the two of you?
I really haven't spoken to her. Like I said, I saw her at Portia's event. She gave me a kiss on the cheek, but she kept going about her business. I don't talk to her. So I honestly would have to say we're where we were before. I did invite her to my husband's birthday party. And she said, if she's in town, she'll be there. That's what she said. So we'll see.
Okay. So when's that coming up? We'll keep an eye on your Instagram.
July 17th.
Okay.
On the 15th.
Mark your calendars, everybody. We got to check Instagram, see if the two of them reunite.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of reuniting, what can you tease about Simone and Jackie? We know that they'll be addressing their issues in, you know, either part two or part three of this reunion. How are the two of them doing?
Well, I'm going to first say, first and foremost, I don't have anything to do with their relationship. That's between them. I did not come in between them at all, contrary to popular belief. I think that Jackie's over it. I really think that she does not know what she did. She really thought they were good friends and there's no communication there. And Simone is very stubborn. So they're not speaking. They have not spoken. They maybe once or twice via text based on working, you know, something that happened at the hospital. But they have not been where they've been before. They definitely not hanging out, going to lunch or anything like that. So the relationship is dead, really.
Right, right. Do you think there's any hope of it getting back to where it was? Or is it just too far gone at this point?
I don't know. I think it's always hope. I just think that just because it's been so long, the longer it takes, the worse it gets. And it's been years, actually. So It's going to be difficult. It's going to be it would have to be a life-changing experience, like somebody die or somebody find Jesus, you know, for that to come back together.
Right, of course. Well, obviously, this first part of the reunion ends with this really big revelation that Contessa has, in fact, filed for separation from Scott. And she mentions that, you know, the other women on the stage, that you guys knew about this and any of you could answer it. So when did you first find out that Contessa had filed for separation?
I'm real careful with this because I love Contessa so much. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And my mind goes back and forth on what was revealed and what was not revealed.
Right.
And so I have to be real careful. But I knew for a while, but I will say this, I am praying for Scott and Contessa. You know, I am all about marriage and family. And I think that people can work through a lot of different things if both parties are willing to work. And I'm going to keep praying for them. I really do. I love Contessa. I love the family dynamic. Her kids are beautiful. She has a beautiful home. It would be so disappointing to see such a beautiful family come apart. So I'm rooting for them. I really am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just you saying that, it seems to be that's what her biggest concern is her children and the family falling apart. We see her break down in one of the previews for the upcoming, you know, parts of the reunion that we're going to see. We also know that Scott and the husband kind of stormed the stage at one point. So I know you can't reveal too much because we haven't seen these episodes yet, right. But does Scott own up to anything?
Scott does Scott. I'm going to say mm-hmm. that Scott did what Scott does.
I feel like you're being careful.
I've lost the words, but I've lost a good friend by speaking on their husband before, i.e. Simone. So yeah. I'm very careful what I say about somebody's husband, because at the end of the day, when they get back together, they be mad at you. So I'm going to say Scott did Scott, and he did it. I'm praying for their marriage.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, we'll also know as soon as these, you know, next couple of episodes air exactly what went down, or at least, as you said, what Scott gives us. So we'll have to stay tuned for that. Well, to wrap up with you, Heavenly, I do want to do like a quick fire round of updates on your whole family. So let's start. How's Dr. Damon?
Damon is doing wonderfully. He just opened his second practice, a satellite practice where he does a lot of personal injury cases. So he's amazing. I love my man.
Daddy?
I love Daddy, yes.
Your son, Zachary, we know he's been doing house flipping, and that seems to be going very well for him. So what's the latest with Zachary?
Well, Zachary basically is chilling in that new lake house that he tricked me into getting him, and a boat and a jet ski. And he stays on there on the weekends. And when I want to go, I can't because he's having a party there. And I just recently found out that you can't really Airbnb that space, but he does have his real estate license. He is with a real estate company, and he shows me properties via text or via email all the time. So I may be buying another property in Atlanta, somewhere closer to the city soon.
Okay. Well, you know, I am always available if he needs some company at the lake house. I wouldn't mind.
I know that's right. It's beautiful out there. It really is.
Yeah. And what about Damon Jr.?
Damon Jr. is doing great. I guess y'all know that he was a little bit sick, and that's why Damon didn't make it to the reunion, but he's much better now. I'm so glad my husband was in the ER. They're speculating that he had meningitis, but they did not take the test for meningitis. But Damon came in there, he took over, he treated him, and I love my husband so much. And don't make me cry, because without him, you know, that was a dangerous situation. Like my son, it could have been really bad. But my husband was there, and he was an ER doc. They respected him. He spoke with authority, but not, you know, mean. And they did what he said do, and my son was fine like an hour later. He just chose to stay there to monitor him. But God is good.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness. I mean, that's great to hear. I know it must have been difficult for you to attend this reunion knowing that was going on, but it sounds like you knew, you know, Damon had it under control.
He had it under control. I was glad my husband could stay, but it was difficult, but you know, I'm a professional, so I'm gonna do what I got to do anyway. So.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. How's my girl, Alora? What's she up to?
Alora is a hot mess. She reminds me so much of her mother. Oh my God. It's scary. You know, I've been trying to keep her out of the hair and makeup and stuff. And I basically started that beauty supply store for her so she could have a business. And now she's saying she's going to school and she doesn't want to stay in state. So I don't know what's happening, but she's Alora. She got a lot of mouth, and I probably need to beat her ass on the regular.
I just loved that scene earlier this season when Quad, I think, saw her and was like, what happened? How did you grow up so fast? I mean, we really have seen her grow up so much over the years.
You know, she's 15. She'll be 16 really soon. And she started out with the hair and makeup like as fun. You know, I said, oh, it's cute. She didn't go to school at all last year. So she was on virtual. So she didn't have a whole lot to do. So I was like, you know, if she wants to do the hair and makeup while she's home, that's fine. But it just comes to now that she's getting out, she still wants to have it on, and I kind of got out of control. But yeah, she'll be 15, 16, I mean, and she's a girly girl, so I can't be mad.
Right, right. Well, of course, I have to ask about the newest family members, Snow and Carter.
Yeah, yeah.
How are they?
I am a dog lover. Y'all know I love doggies. I actually was at a party at Quad's house, at Quad's birthday party, and a guy there that was working something for her had a baby a husky there, and it was such a cute dog. And Alora was there with me. She's like, "Oh, I really want the dog." So we got the dog, and then we found out later that she had a brother that had two different color eyes, so a rarity. So we actually adopted the brother as well. I mean, bought the brother as well. So they have, you know, a partner. But they're a lot of work, but they're a lot of fun. They're beautiful dogs. I love my dogs. I have five dogs now, but Teddy still runs the house.
Right, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. He's got to.
He's a little dog, yeah.
Snow and Carter, is it Jon Snow? Are they named after Jon Snow? And then I'm assuming maybe the Carters, like Beyonce and Jay?
Well, no, they were Snow because they were white, and Carter because we're riding down the highway and we saw Jimmy Carter Boulevard. He was almost called Augusta. So that's how that came about.
Peachtree.
Yeah. Right, it was almost Peachtree. It was almost Augusta, Georgia. So whatever she saw on the highway, she called him Jimmy Carter. It was Carter for Jimmy Carter Boulevard. Yep.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Well, Heavenly, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. I cannot wait to see part 2 and 3 of this reunion. Thank you for spilling some tea.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, yeah. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you, sir.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh, do you have any specialty dishes that you make, like Harry Hamlin?
The only thing I have made for people, gentlemen callers, the next morning is a breakfast burrito.
Oh.
I do a pretty good breakfast burrito.
Wow.
But that's the only thing I can make. So it's sort of misleading in a way.
Well, that's pretty clutch, though.
Yeah.
What do you put in it?
So scrambled eggs, I get these nice spicy refried beans.
Ooh.
Pickled jalapenos.
Oh my God.
Cheese, sour cream, and salsa. Oh, it's amazing.
That sounds really good.
It's really good.
Oh my, that's like a hangover cure.
Exactly.
I guess the only thing that I have is I do a pretty good job with breakfast, pretty good pancakes.
Mm.
But there is also this caramel rum fondue that I used to make.
Oh my God, that is fancy.
I mean, it's fancy, but it's literally unwrapped caramel candies, and then I put them in a crock pot with some rum and I think whipping cream or something.
And what do you dip in it?
Anything you want. I mean, you could do like a cornbread, you could do apples, which is usually how I serve it, but I haven't made it in a really long time.
Wow.
But it's one of those things that when I lived in California and we'd have some kind of gatherings, my friend Alana would always be like, "Well, you got to make the caramel rum fondue." And I'd be lugging my crock pot all the way over to wherever I'm going. I'll make it for you one day. You'll
okay.
Like it. I usually do more rum
than
it calls for also.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yum.
But I would love to try any of Harry's amazing dishes, particularly the blueberry pie.
Right. The blueberry pie. But also the pasta seemed nice.
Yeah. Harry, come cook for us.
I love Harry.
Erica's talking at one point in this episode, and I know the big question is, are we believing her?
Right.
You know, every step of the way, it seems to be what people are asking.
Yeah.
What I'm asking myself. And the way she was talking about this newfound independence, even though it is very new and fresh, I do feel like she is seeing a lot of value in being by herself and having her own space and a space that is just hers.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to believe her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it's hard for me to believe that part of it only because I guess you can't put a price on your freedom or rah, rah, rah. But wouldn't you rather the big house and the private planes and being able to pay for your staff of hairstylists and makeup artists and all of that?
I guess so. But it's one of those things where none of it was hers to begin with.
Right. That's true.
You know, and she says it in this episode about, it was always Tom's house. There were two women in there before me.
That is the craziest part to me.
None of it was really decorated in the way that she probably really liked. It seemed like she had touches throughout the house. But now she's finally in a space that is almost like the studio she was renting in downtown LA that was just hers. And she could pour her own creativity into it. And her house is coming together really beautifully. It is just so funny to see the exterior of the house and how much she lives in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
It reminds me of where the Vanderpump Rules kids, who are not kids, but we still call them that, which is definitely a big change for her. And I'm sure that's a lot to get used to. But having something that is just yours, that you are paying for, I think that's more than she could ask for at this particular time.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. You know about Kim Richards' book that's coming, right?
No.
So she's authoring a book. It's hopefully going to have a lot of juicy things in there. But hearing Kathy and Kyle just talk about Kim and where she's at and how she's doing and changing her number, it just made me so excited to read this book.
It made me sad.
Yeah.
I do worry about Kim. Not even the, you know, the drinking part of it, but just I do worry she's alone, you know?
Yeah.
There was a lot of that with her when she was on the show that we saw, you know? And I'll never forget Brandy Glanville talking about, Kim tells me I'm her best friend. And she's like, and that makes me sad.
Right.
Ugh.
I know. And just seeing Kathy and Kyle talk about Kim and the different issues all three of them have had with each other over the years. And we know when Kyle made the show American Woman, that caused a divide in the sisters. So will that happen with Kim's book based on where they're at this point in the season, knowing this book is coming? I can't imagine everybody's going to be hunky-dory.
Well, that's the thing. Like, will Kim be opening up about everything? Because what I really want to know is why for a while, well, first of all, why Kyle's entire family, like only Kyle could go to Nikki Hilton's wedding.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. At this point, what does Kim have to lose?
Right.
So that's why I'm hoping it has it all.
Mm.
I don't know. Okay. Also, I was a little worried about Dorit this season because we're already on what, episode 8? And I was like, what is Dorit's storyline? What's happening with Dorit this season?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we get the reveal that she's working on a bridal line.
You know, I'm designing the wedding dress range.
I saw that picture was insane.
I've worked in fashion and design for almost 20 years, but mostly in the beachwear, resort wear, swimwear world.
Just pull your boobs in, yeah?
Yeah. Beverly Beach is doing so well, and now I'm pivoting to bridal.
This part is very unclear to me. Does she still have Beverly Beach?
I believe so.
Okay, so it's not, because you know, some housewives, it's like, I'm working on this thing. Oh, that fell through. So I'm working on this thing. So I can't tell if it's like a lack of focus or no, she did that thing. It's still very much successful, but she's also interested now in wedding dresses.
I think Beverly Beach is at a place where it's running itself.
Okay.
And she doesn't need to be as hands-on with it. It's already a launched brand and it's going. So now she's moving on.
Got it.
I don't think it's like a Sonia Morgan situation.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I also love a mini Christmas village. And when I saw her decorations, I was like, that takes me back to my childhood.
Oh, really?
Yes. My grandmother always used to have that underneath the Christmas tree with like the fake snow and stuff. Yeah. And I just always loved the little, you know how some people are just obsessed with like mini things?
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily obsessed, but they do make me very happy.
Yeah.
Nice job, Doreen. Okay, another thing that I noticed that I thought was really cool, Hannah Ferrier has this product. I don't know if she invented it or if she's just like a spokesperson for it, but Lisa Rinna was using them when she invited everyone over for this party, and they were fans. Did you notice those on the table?
Yeah.
They're to keep bugs away from your spreads when you have them outside.
Oh.
It's genius. I know. I wonder if Hannah sent those to her or if Rinna just in her, you know, QVC world got hooked up with these. But I noticed them and I was like, that is genius.
Genius.
I know. Hannah, if you're listening, send me some.
What do we think about just this whole Sutton meltdown at the dinner table?
Dadgummit, I didn't bring you guys. I brought presents.
Guys, Garcelle's not here. I'm having a cake.
She got a cake just to acknowledge her birthday.
But if you want to bring presents.
Yeah. That's from Crystal, Kathy, and me.
Yay! Happy birthday.
Like, Sutton knew that you could bring gifts if you wanted. I don't know why she had to make this whole thing about her.
I will say, I appreciate that Sutton is giving us something to talk about.
Mm.
As much as I'm over this feud between the two of them, she's giving us something to talk about. She's the only one besides Erica who's putting in some work this season, I think.
Right.
That being said, I wish she would just lean into the humor of it all.
Right.
And let it roll off her back, dust off her shoulders, and move forward. Because we see Kathy make a joke about it as soon as she sees Sutton for the first time since seeing her last time, calling her Thomasina, whatever. Kathy's trying to make light of it. If everyone would just make light of it, it'd be easier for everyone to move on. And I think Crystal would probably be more open to Sutton if everyone just moved forward.
Yeah.
But Sutton is not letting it go. And I don't know why. She gave us the moment we've all been waiting for.
Right.
Ugly leather pants.
Jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants. And but Kyle's reaction is the best. She's like, she said ugly leather pants. She said ugly leather pants. Like she just, like an alarm.
Jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants?
No.
She said ugly leather pants. Okay, that's
okay,
not.
Pants.
Oh my God.
What happened?
You know how we have that thing that's on the internet, understanding the assignment?
Yeah.
I think Sutton understands the assignment.
I will say though, because you were saying, do you think Crystal's a mean girl? Because there's been some talk of that online.
Yeah.
I don't, and I still stand by that. But the way Crystal just smiles through the whole thing is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's almost Camille Grammer-esque.
Yes.
Who I do think was a Mean Girl season one. But it's just this, you're ridiculous, and I'm going to let you know how ridiculous you are by not giving into this and just smiling.
I know.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I think Crystal also understands the assignment at this point. I think early on in the season, she had a rough time navigating this housewives thing. And now she gets it because Sutton just keeps challenging her and she's like, I'm not going to give you what you want. And that's a reaction.
My other thing about Crystal I want to say is that in a pre-premiere video, Garcelle said she was like, Crystal wears very little makeup. She'll learn though. She's going to watch back these episodes and learn. And I think that Crystal looks amazing. And I think she proves you don't have to like glob it on for the camera.
Right.
So
Crystal's beautiful. She doesn't need any makeup.
Yeah.
Frankly.
She's gorgeous.
I wonder if like next season, if she returns, she'll just be caked up.
I'm sure. The season two
but
glow up.
She doesn't really need it. I mean, she truly doesn't.
Yeah.
What did you think about Lisa Rinna getting the cake for Garcelle?
Oh, just in terms of like, is it a full circle moment for their friendship?
Yeah, is it Rinna's way of taking that step of being like, let's continue to repair and rebuild?
Yeah, it was very nice of her. And it is especially nice knowing that someone is single. And it's kind of a different thing when you don't have a romantic person there to help you celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
So I thought that was nice of her.
Yeah, that's a step in the right direction. Okay, Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
All right, what was your rose?
So my rose is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it's Harry Hamlin giving his sort of take on the Scott Disick thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just feel like he's handling it very well, and he's being very careful with his words, and I think that's the right response.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be the pot calling the kettle black if he were to say he's too old for you, Amelia, because as we heard, there was a big age difference in his first.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if it was his first wife, but.
Well, the mother of his.
His first son, yeah.
How do you feel, Harry? Yeah, how do you feel? Just tell him. Come on.
My feelings about it, I must confess, the issue that's the most enduring is the age difference, which to me is odd. But then again, every time I think of that, I think of myself and Ursula Andress when I was 14 years younger than she when we had Dimitri. So I can't really complain, right?
Well, how old were you?
I mean, you could, but
when you had Dimitri?
I was 29.
You were 29.
She was 44 when she had the kid.
Wow.
My rose, I'm going to give it to both Amrit from Family Karma for coming out to his nani, which was in last week's episode, and it was just such a touching moment. And the second part of my rose, I'm going to give it to Bravo for highlighting that moment and doing it in a very respectful way. It was a supersized episode. They took their time with it. They explored all the different facets of how his parents were dealing with it, how he was dealing with it. They stayed with Nani and watched how she dealt with it. And then in this most recent episode, we saw Nicholas come into the picture and continue that storyline. And I just think that they did it in a very delicate way, which is how it has to be done. So my rose is for you, Amrit, and bravo.
Yeah.
What was your thorn?
I was just sad Shaw's sunset was dark this week.
Yeah, I mean, my thorn's going to have to be that Married to Medicine reunion is dark. Right. So we are delayed on part 2 and 3. They left us with that cliffhanger. And yeah, Shaw's, I missed it too.
Right. And we'll be back next week with an all new episode. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.